Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Surgery is no fun, but the result can be restored health. Spiritual surgery is the same, not fun, but rewarding. Today, another session of Motivation Analysis, as we hear again the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. We'll work on improving our attitudes about why we do what we do. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on sharing secrets with God, Erwin Lutzer is speaking on secret serving. Today, what it means to send our treasure on ahead to heaven.
You know, whenever Jesus talks about money, we begin to get somewhat skittish and a little bit on edge because the topic it touches us at a place where we don't like to be touched. But actually, you know, Jesus is doing us a favor. He's saying, hey, look, have good investments, but just invest them in the right places. Put them into heaven where you don't have this erosion of values. And when you have your heart there, your treasure and your heart are going to be in the same place. They're going to be in heaven. You say, well, how do we do that? We do it by giving money. Yes, of course, by giving money. But that's only one way. It's by giving time. It's by giving energy. It's going to Cabrini Green and holding a Bible study. It is ministering to Angel Tree and becoming a prayer partner. I mean, there are so many different ways that we can begin to lay up treasures in heaven. And I remember reading a story about a couple who had a worldwide tour that they were on. Every place that they went, they bought some gifts and they couldn't keep them with them, but they sent them back home. And they were anxious to get home then to see all of the gifts that had accumulated during those months that they were gone. Their treasure begins to get home because that's where you sent it on ahead. And in the very same way, we think about heaven, and the more we have in heaven, the better off we are, and then we begin to think heavenly. I frequently am asked, probably maybe not every week, but very frequently when we're out with friends, people say, are you a grandfather yet? And I always have to pause a little bit, and I say this very gently and nicely, but I say, yes, we are grandparents, but our little Sarah is in heaven. You know, when you say that, you begin to realize that the more you have in heaven, the more you look forward to seeing the people whom you loved here on earth, or even, as in our case, someone whom we didn't get to know, your affections begin to be heavenward, because that's where your treasure is. And Jesus is saying, do those kinds of things that have heavenly value, have lots of treasure, and when the time comes for you to go, it will be easy to go because your treasure is already there. Like the young woman who said, as her dad was dying of cancer, that in the weeks before he died, he spent more time in heaven than he did on earth. Jesus is saying, make good investments. Now, I know that he does not say expressly here, do it in secret, but of course this is a further exposition on what he talked about when he said in the giving of alms, he said, do it in secret, that your Father will reward you openly. It only makes sense because our money is going to be canceled. So put it into something that will survive the crisis. So here's a question for you. The first test of our hearts today is the test of our affections. A test of our affections. Do we really love God, or do we love the things of this world, whatever they may be? Is a relationship more important to us than the will of God? Is it possible for us to say, yes, I want this relationship, even though God says no, because I want what I want when I want it? And that is idolatry, and that is not the way you lay up treasures in heaven. And you really, in your heart, do not love God. You don't love God. So that's the first. Let me ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your affections? An 8, a 7, a 6, a 5, a 9, a 2, a 1, a 0? Your love for God. Let's go on to a second test. This has to do with our attitude. Jesus is still speaking here in the 6th chapter of Matthew, and he says in verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light which is within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, in order to understand that, you have to realize that, let's talk about buildings, first of all. If you have a building and all of the walls and the doors are closed, the only possibility of light is through the window. And whether or not much light comes through, whether the room is flooded with light or not, really depends on the window. It depends on its size, of course, but also on the glass. Is it glass that has been painted? Sometimes you see painted glass, and the light that comes through it is dingy. At least the room looks very, very dingy. Or you can have a clear glass. You can have a clear window, and the light just streams through, and the whole room is flooded with light. Now, Jesus said that in the very same way, and this is really an analogy, Jesus is saying that your body is really, the light of the body is the eye. If your eye is single, if your eye is clear, as the translation says here, your whole body is going to be flooded with light. But if your eye is a bad eye, that's what it talks about. It says then your body, your soul, all of you is going to be flooded with darkness, if you can flood something with darkness. Now, what does Christ mean by a good eye? He says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your body will be filled with light. You know what a good eye is? Really, the Greek text means it is a generous eye. He's still talking about money. He's still talking about investments. He's talking about people who have an eye toward generosity, who can rejoice with others, and who can generously give of their time and their money and their faithfulness and their efforts, and they do so with gladness because freely they have received, freely they give. God loves that kind of spontaneity. That's why he loves a cheerful giver. It's someone who gives because he loves to give. Now that's a good eye. It's a good eye. The Bible says in the book of Romans, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cleave to that which is good. A good eye is someone who has a ring of truth and honesty and openness and transparency. Now, what about the bad eye? The bad eye is stinginess. It is stinginess. And if your eye is stingy, if that glass, using the analogy, is glass that has been, smeared, if it is glass that is colored and therefore the light is diffused, then Jesus Christ said your whole body, the real you, is filled with darkness. Of course, there are other things also other than stinginess, but since stinginess is the primary meaning, have you ever lived with someone who is really, really miserly and stingy? Have you lived with someone like that? Some of you perhaps married somebody like that, and so you know right well that you've had to live with them. And there's something about they begrudge the success of everyone else. They're always thinking about their own needs, whether or not they have deep needs or not, whether or not their situation is as bad as they make it out to be. The point is, they are always, always begrudging generosity. It's a darkness, and their whole eye is filled with darkness, and so is their souls. There are other ways also that we can be filled with darkness, and that is if our eye is filled with prejudice and jealousy and anger and moral impurity. And all of these things, the window of the soul is therefore cut off from the light. And Jesus said, make sure that your heart is right and your eye is right. Remember, it's symbolic. There are blind people and they've never seen light, and yet their souls are pure and open and filled with light. But Jesus is saying that your eye, the way in which you view things, determines actually the amount of light in your body. My wife and I have been to Mont Blanc, which is really on the border of Switzerland and France, as I recall. One of the tallest mountains in all of Europe, if I remember correctly. And it's gorgeous, beautiful hill, and you can ski there for miles and miles and miles, and probably no trees, as I remember, on, so you can probably even make it all the way down. But there's a friend of mine who says that he's been there many times, and there's a house, a beautiful house, one of those nice mountain homes, facing Mount Blanc with all of a whole array of windows, but the shutters are always closed. Now, if you like mountains and if you like beauty, you wonder, why do they keep these shutters closed? You know, that's the way some lives are. Here is God in all of his beauty, in all of his light, in all of his brilliance, who can come into our lives, who can cleanse us from sin, who can deliver us from anger and stinginess and a miserly, small-thinking spirit, and who can take all that and he can flood us with light. But oftentimes our shutters are closed and we are determined that no one shall ever open them. And there we are. There we are in our own dark, dank soul. Could I urge you today, just open your life to God. Just open it to God. Just simply say, Lord, I want to open my life to you. I want you to show me what you see. Yes, Lord, you've got the files. Show me so that we can deal with all of the things that promote the darkness, the dishonesty, the deceit, the lack of joy, the lack of spiritual freedom, the lack of generosity. Deal with me. Now, you'll notice that Jesus says, if the light which is in you is darkness. In other words, if your eye is just closed to the light, how great is that darkness? How great it is. Now, if the first test that we've taken is the test of our affections, the second test is the test of our attitude. It's the test of our attitude. And it has to do whether or not we're full of light or we're full of darkness. Let me give you a third test that Jesus gives us, and that is the test of our actions. Our actions. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Notice that Jesus is still thinking about money. He's still thinking about it. And what he's saying is that when it comes to serving, if we're going to serve the things of this world and mammon or money and is representative of all the things of this world, if we're going to do that, Jesus said, just understand that you can't serve God too. Yes, my friend, you can't serve God and money. And you know the statement that I've been speaking about, that your whole soul will be filled with darkness versus filled with light? The whole idea is this, that if you are stingy, your whole soul is filled with darkness. Well, I encourage you today, throw open the shutters and come to the light. What is keeping you from exposing your whole soul to God? Is it bitterness? Is it perhaps great anger, great guilt? Whatever it is, confess it, leave it behind, and become open on the Godward side. And I can assure you that Jesus, by his power, will flood your soul with light.
You've heard part two of Secret Serving, the last message in Erwin Lutzer's series on sharing secrets with God. Next time, more on the profound words of Jesus. This four-part series on sharing secrets with God can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.